So, Hippolytus of Rome, Sextus Julius Africanus, Irenaeus. You're thinking, what is wrong with Pastor today? Well, anyway, these are three guys. These are three Christian theologians that predicted Jesus would return in the year 500. And one of them based that prediction on the fact with the measurements of Noah's Ark and came up with the year 500. But it didn't happen, did it? John Wesley, who I greatly admire, who has done so much for the body of Christ. He was the founder of the Methodist Church. He saw the millennial kingdom reign beginning in the year 1836. As he was looking at Revelation 12, 14, he believed it referred to the years 1058 through 1836 when Christ would come or should come. That didn't happen, and the fact that that failed to happen launched something that was called the Great Disappointment. A guy named Edgar Wisenant. You'd think that this Edgar name would have been easier than Hippolytus of Rome and Sextus Julius, but anyway, more difficult. But this guy, Edgar, wrote a book titled 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Happen in 1988. And then when it didn't happen in 1988, he followed up with another book called 89 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Happen in 1989. And so in both cases, he was wrong with his guesstimate, estimate, and statement. Jack Van Impe, televangelist, who over the years predicted many specific dates and years that Christ would return or the rapture would happen. His last prediction was that Jesus would return or the rapture would happen in 2012. But those predictions all came and went, and they didn't happen. So here's my point. Here's what I think we ought to do today. I think that what I'm going to do is open up the microphone in a little bit, and each one of us is going to give our prediction of when Jesus is going to return. And we're going to need day and hour, because the one who is the closest will have free tickets to next week's Find Your Fit class. Anyway, those predictions that I referenced earlier, those are just a few of the hundreds upon hundreds of predictions that have been made about when Jesus is going to return or when the rapture is going to happen. And they've made predictions very publicly and very confidently, yet those dates have come and they've gone. Every one of them was wrong. And if I pass the microphone around the church today and you make your prediction, it's a guess, and it's going to be wrong. It's going to be wrong. This is our fifth week of our study through Matthew chapter 24, and this is the Olivet Discourse. This is Jesus answering very specific questions. When are you coming back? And when's the end of the age? What's it going to look like? How's it all going to go down? And Jesus very clearly and really systematically lays out the end of the age for us. And I've referred to, and I'm calling the Olivet Discourse, Matthew chapter 24 in particular, the foundation. I would recommend it anyway to be the foundation of our eschatology, of our end times view. Start with what God, Jesus, has said very clearly, instead of starting with the things that are very mysterious and trying to weave something together. So this is what we've been doing for the last 4 weeks. This is our fifth week into this study of this Olivet Discourse. And the title of the sermon series has simply been called Signs of the Times, because that's what my Bible titled the entire section of Jesus' sermon. So I just went with it. I figured it was good enough for anyway. It's good enough for them. It's good enough for us. So the world's out of control. I want to look to what God has to say about what's happening and how it's all going to go down. not to current events. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more this morning. You know, we just have this tendency to watch the news, to get on social media, and the next thing you know, we turn into these prophets who are trying to string together and put together what's happening today and what that means. And anyway, we're gonna look at this. Title of today's message is simply this: Don't Predict, Instead Prepare. All right? Don't predict, instead prepare. Let me say it again. Don't predict, instead prepare. Point number one: predicting the date of Christ's return is foolish. Now, I'm excited for Jesus to come back. I am excited. I pray for it because Scripture tells me to pray for it. I cry out for it because Scripture says that the Holy Spirit and the church, the bride, cry, "Come, Lord Jesus." I mean, I am ready for Jesus to come back. I'm ready for all things to be made new. I'm ready for evil to be once and for all done. I am ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. And I proclaim it loudly. I got no problem saying, "Come, Lord Jesus." And He is coming. But here's where many have gotten themselves in a lot of trouble. They've decided to do what Jesus told us that no one can do. They've decided that they can figure out and that they can know something that Jesus Himself says no one can know. In fact, Jesus Himself says, "I don't even know." Jesus doesn't know. Yet, people still have this draw, this desire to predict and make statements about when what is impossible to know is going to happen. And smart people do this. People who love the Lord, people who know the Bible, fall into this crazy trap. Check out what Jesus plainly says in His Olivet Discourse. Verse 36, "But about the day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." So here's the question I have. What part of "no one knows" is unclear here? You know what I'm saying? Again, we complicate things. We live in a nutty world, man. You look at the internet right now, and since this war has started in Ukraine, do you know how many predictions are starting to pop up again? You know many how so-called prophets who say that they understand all of this stuff are starting to talk again? I'm just saying, ignore it. Read your Bible. Get on your knees. Get with Jesus. Seek Him first. Seek His face. Don't try to figure out something that Jesus said no one knows. Not even Jesus Himself. Don't waste your time with that nonsense. It's foolishness. Again, I'll go to what Jesus said. "But about that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son," that's Himself, "but only the Father." I'm going to give people the benefit of the doubt who like to make these predictions. I think in many cases it really is just wishful thinking. They're just hopeful. They just want Jesus to come back so badly that they're looking for anything that they can grab hold of to say it's going to happen really soon. And so that's giving them the benefit of the doubt. If I don't give them the benefit of the doubt, I'm thinking they just want a bunch more YouTube clicks so that they can make some money off of YouTube, whatever. But that's a whole other thing. I give most people the benefit of the doubt on that. Because we want Jesus to come back. And we are to look for Him. But Jesus very clearly says no one knows. No one. No one. So that's why I said that predicting the date of Christ's return is foolish. It just is. It's a waste of time and it's impossible. Not even Jesus can do it. Not even Jesus can do it. Only the Father knows. I was talking with my mom yesterday, and when my mom studies the Bible. She teaches precept Bible studies. She's got two of them going on right now in Rockwall, Texas that she's doing. She loves the Word of God. So when I get talking to my mom, we always end up, you know, I always end up preaching. She always ends up saying, you know, testing me on all this stuff. It's great. I mean, I have a great time talking with my mom about this kind of stuff. But as I was talking about this, she said, you know, I was reading about ancient Jewish weddings back in the day, how they kind of went down and how they happened. And she was talking to me about how the wedding party didn't know exactly when the wedding would happen. So there would be a betrothal that would happen, an engagement that would happen, and then the bride would be getting herself prepared and ready for the wedding. The groom would go and be making a place for the bride, preparing a home, a place for the bride. Kind of sounds like our groom, right? He prepares a place for us, right? You know what I'm saying? And so he's preparing a place for the bride, but the wedding only happens when the father of the groom says it's time for the wedding. As he's watching the bride preparing, the groom getting the house ready, and he goes, okay, now it's time. He sends out the announcement to the bridal party, and the wedding happens right then. No one else knows. Not even the groom knows. The bride doesn't know exactly the day or the hour she's going to get married. She knows it's coming. But it's only the Father who knows. I thought that was pretty cool, so I thought I'd share that with everyone. Shout out to you, Mom. Awesome stuff. But Jesus lets us know not the day or the hour of his return. But Jesus does let us know how it's going to go down. Okay? He gives us insight to what the atmosphere is going to be like when he returns. He says this in verse 37. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. So Jesus is giving us some insight of what it's going to be like when he comes back. Not the day, not the hour, but what the feel of life is going to be like at that time. And he's saying it's going to be like any other day. Everyone's just going to be going about their business, living their lives. Life's just going to be happening. And when I think about that, I ask myself some questions, and so I want to ask you some questions. What will you be doing on that day that's like any other day? How will you be living? You know, we're getting closer to that day. I can say that. There's my big prediction. We are closer today to the return of Jesus than we were yesterday. I say that with confidence. We are. We know that's the case. But there's still many things that Jesus said would take place that have not taken place. But as we wait for that day, we need to be prepared. We need to resist the urge to make predictions, first and foremost, as we're seeing here. Let's start with that. You know, one thing I was thinking about the whole prediction thing, again, giving people the benefit of the doubt who make these kind of predictions, you know, that they just really want them to come back. I also think that this happens. Sometimes we as Christians even fall into this, and we do this. We say things that we want to have happen as though if we say them that they will happen. It's like a power of positive thinking or power of positive speaking. Now, our mouths have the power of life and death in them. And what we say matters. It can bring life and it can bring death. But I think we often take some of these things so far. And we think, if I say that Jesus is coming back this next year, or if I say Jesus is coming back in my children's generation, then and I say it with enough confidence and I say it enough times, that somehow then it's going to happen. I think we need to be careful about these kinds of things. What has God said? What does God say? Now, you can say, I really want Jesus to come back tomorrow. I really want Jesus to come back next year. The Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord Jesus, come. But just making proclamations of positive thinking or positive speaking, I don't know, this just clicked in my head a little bit. It's almost like witchcraft. I'm just saying, it just, that came to me right now. It is. Be careful. Again, our mouths have the power of life and death. Be careful what you release. Just because it's something that sounds good or something that we should want, are we supposed to say that? Just I'm off my notes, but I believe God is saying something to us today about this, okay? Let's be careful. Let's speak clearly and confidently what we know God has said. I can read this and I can say, thus saith the Lord. And then make these statements. Anyway, you hear what I'm saying there? Hear what God, I believe, is saying to us? So, you know, I feel like I'm jumping all around today a little bit. But that's okay. Is that okay if I'm just kind of jumping around a little bit today? I'm going to blame it on Pastor Phil. I don't know why. I'm just going to blame it on him, though. So, anyway. But, you know, already, as we're still on point number one and we're still talking about predictions, I already have seen people out there making statements and writing articles and social media posts and all of this kind of stuff talking about how Russia invading Ukraine is the beginning of the Gog and Magog war. And I'm like, how in the world do they know that? I mean, seriously. I'm just saying, I look at that stuff and I'm going to ask you, don't eat that stuff up. Don't spend your time on that. Get in the Word of God. Get in the presence of the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Okay? God has it under control. Don't waste your time with a bunch of hypotheses and theories and people just wanting to make things up. I'm just saying, okay? Be careful. Be careful. And you might think, I can't believe. I thought this was like a Spirit-filled, charismatic church. Exactly. We're going to listen to what God is saying. We're going to listen to His voice. We're going to get into His presence. We're going to let Him move, His gifts move in and through us. His truth wash us and cleanse us and draw us closer to Him. Not what people are saying about current events that are happening out there. But I can write a book about it and maybe make some money or get more followers on social media. Anyway. I'm in a mood today. I woke up at 2:30 this morning. Anyway, so I've already done a full day. You know what I'm saying? I'm already tired, so I'm a little just loose right now. I'm just whatever. It's just going to come out. Now, before I move on, let me handle something. Some grab the language of verses 40. Go to verses 40 and 41 here in Matthew 24. Some people grab these two verses and this language here found in Matthew 24, 40, and 41, and they just grab it out of context, and they serve it up as some sort of evidence of how the rapture is going to happen and when. And I just want to cover that really quick right here. It says, two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. But I want to make sure that we understand that passage in the context of what Jesus has just said of how this is all going to go down. He said he's coming on the clouds. He's coming down to this earth. He's returning. He's coming on the clouds, and he's bringing up the church to meet him in the clouds. And so to understand what he's saying, it's very simple. There will be some people that will be taken up and meet him in the clouds because they're the church. And there will be others that could be right next to them doing the exact same thing who will remain and not be taken up and meet him in the clouds because they're not the church. It's really that simple and that clear. There's nothing else to read into it. So I'm just wanting to point that out, throw that out there. Because often this passage of Scripture will just get pulled out to make other arguments regarding eschatology. And I want us to make sure that we look at things contextually, and we look at what Scripture has plainly said to us, and not use Scripture to make other points. Okay, are you ready for point number two? That was just point number one. We already got that much crazy stuff just in point number one. We ready for point number two? So point number one was, don't make predictions of when Christ is going to return. That's foolish. Point number two is, preparing for Christ's return is wise. So making predictions, foolish. Preparing, wise. It's wise. Verse 42, Jesus continues to lay this out, to just boom, 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 boom. And he says, therefore, keep watch. You don't know the hour. You don't know the day. It's impossible for you to know. I don't even know, he says. And then he says, hey, and besides not knowing the day or the hour, it's going to just seem like any other day. It's not like you're going to even get close to understanding it. It's going to be like any other day. So keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect it. So, instead of predicting the day and the hour, Jesus is calling his church to keep watch and be ready. Keep watch and be ready for his return. In other words, be prepared. But a lot of people ignore that. And they just figure, hey, it's all going to work out. I don't need to worry about any of this kind of stuff. I always got tomorrow. I read this week, Charles Spurgeon once told a story about the loss of a ship called the Central America. And this ship was in a bad condition, sprung a leak out in the middle of the ocean, deep part of the ocean, sprung a leak. It was going down. Therefore, it hoisted up its distress signal. And another ship saw the distress signal, came over to the Central America and said, what's wrong? Captain of Central America replied, we're in bad repair and we're going down. But wait till morning. Wait till morning was the answer from the captain of this ship that was sinking. Just wait till morning and we'll get our guys, our people off and get them over to you in the morning. Don't worry about it right now. But the captain on board the rescue ship said, let me take your passengers on board now. No, wait till morning was the message that came back. Once again, the captain of this rescue ship said, you'd better let me take your passengers on board now. Wait till morning was again the reply. Well, about an hour and a half later, the lights were gone. No sound was heard, for the ship had sunk to the bottom of the abyss of the ocean, and everyone on board with it. Wait till morning. It's not that bad. We got more time. There's no hurry. No big deal. It's easy to think we always have tomorrow. It's easy to think that. Now, I believe based on reading what Jesus said about end times, I would be shocked, and I'm good with being shocked, okay, with things. I'm totally good with being shocked. I'm totally good with being wrong if it's going to be Jesus comes back tomorrow. That would be awesome. I'd be shocked because I believe Jesus outlined, as we've looked at, many things that will happen before that happens, but I'll be really excited. But this I do know. None of us in this room are promised tomorrow. Nobody here. Whether Jesus comes back or not, I'm just going to say it. This is one of those Merry Christmas, Happy Birthday type statements right here from Pastor Eric. You're all going to die. I'm serious. I mean, really, okay? Every one of you in this room are going to die unless Jesus comes back before you die. And let's just be real. Any one of us could die today, tomorrow. Okay, let's not be so arrogant or ignorant to think that we're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised tomorrow. Tragedy happens. The brokenness of this world caused by sin, it hurts people, and people die. None of us are promised tomorrow. But most of us live like we're promised tomorrow. Not only that we're promised tomorrow, but that we're promised next year, that we're promised, you know, a decade from now. We do. We live that way. James 4, 13, 14 says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to do this or that, go to that city, spend a year here, there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Hear what Scripture says? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Jesus just said that too. You don't even know the day. You don't even know the hour. You don't even have a clue. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So you see, I was right when I said you're all going to die. It's true though. It's sobering. It should be very sobering. No one in this room is promised tomorrow. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I plead with you. Don't wait till morning. Don't wait till tomorrow. I'll get around to it after or when. We're not promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today, Jesus is calling you to himself. Today, Jesus is saying, receive the gift that I purchased with my blood. And my prayer is that today you would receive that. If you're a believer, brothers and sisters, I mean, the same thing goes with you. I mean, you're saved. You're rescued. But don't spend one more day giving to this world what is the Lord's. Don't play that game of, well, you know what? When my kids are grown up and they're out of the house, then I'll do this. When I get enough money for retirement, then I'll do this. Then, tomorrow, this and that. Today is the day of the Lord. You're not promised tomorrow. God has given you breath today to glorify Him. He's given you time, talent, and treasure today to glorify Him. You're not promised that you will be able to use what God has placed in you tomorrow for His glory, but you have today. I'll share with my neighbor tomorrow what you're not promised tomorrow. They're not promised tomorrow. I mean, this is the reality. We need to live with this understanding and this urgency. If today was your last day, how will Jesus find you? What will you be doing? What will your last day, your last week of life be all about? What will that last chapter be? He got to the next level of Fortnite. He made another $20,000. Whoa, that's going to go a long way in eternity. Good job. What are you going to be living for? What will be written about you? What would be remembered about you if tomorrow never comes? Reminds me of an old country song. If tomorrow never comes. Anyway, it's not a Christian song, just saying. But how are you going to be found? Are you going to be following a sports team, or are you going to be following Jesus? I mean, seriously, how are you going to be found? Will you be raising your kids to be doctors and lawyers and such? I'm on a country music binge here. Or will you be raising your kids to be Jesus followers? How will you be found? What's most important? What do your kids think is most important to you about them and their future? Their profession? Whether they're going to be a mediocre D3 athlete? Sorry, but I'm just being real. Or that you're going to be a Jesus follower, grounded in truth, in love with the Lord, filled with the Spirit of God, able to hear His voice, able to move mountains. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how will you be found? Will you be on the mission of making money or making disciples? How will you be found? You're not promised tomorrow. What's your plan for the next year? I bet you everyone in this room has some sort of financial, professional plan of some sort. What's your spiritual plan? Is it bigger than that? I hope so. I hope so. I hope your plan is to get a lot bigger return in the fields of harvest of going after souls for Jesus than making a few more bucks. Now, making money isn't bad. Having money isn't bad. Not at all. It's a blessing from the Lord. It's a gift from God. It's an opportunity to steward and to advance the kingdom of God. And it's just God's goodness also as well. But Pastor, life is busy. All these other things, I mean, aren't they important? And what I thought about this week, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. But as for me and my house, we will give Jesus our first and our best today. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't do this perfectly. I was just telling Pastor Tim this morning that I feel like I wasted half of my day yesterday. I have a new name for this. You know, you got Amazon on here. You've got Fox News on here. You've got YouTube on here that you can learn how to do anything and watch golf and learn how to make a gun. And I mean, these kind of things I'm looking at. You got all kinds of stuff on here. And I Offer Up. I did sell something on Offer Up the other day, but I mean, you got all this stuff on here. You know what I'm calling this thing after yesterday? I woke up early this morning. I'm spending time with the Lord. I just renamed this device. It's called the Beast. I hate this thing. It's a love-hate relationship. But I've renamed it the Beast. And I want to spend as little time with the Beast as possible. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying right now. I don't know how biblical that is to be calling this the Beast or anything. It's still, anyway, but I'm going to put him back in my pocket right now. Anyway. Jesus wants you to be ready and to be found faithful. That's His heart. That's why He's sharing this. He doesn't want you to miss it. He doesn't want you to be unaware of how it's all going to go down and what's most important, and that's being prepared, which is simply living for Him, following Him, being a follower of His. Point number three, the last point, we'll hit this one quickly, is that we need to be faithfully about God's business. Ties into point number two quite a bit. Be faithfully about God's business. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. A couple points I want to make about this. First is this. Jesus left this earth to be at the right hand of the Father in heaven. How many of you know that? Where's Jesus right now? Scripture very clearly says that he's ascended in the clouds. He's coming back the same way. He's ascended in the clouds. He's at the right hand of the Father in heaven making intercession for us right now. So that's where Jesus is. But he's left us, his church, here on this earth. And he's put us here on this earth and left us here on this earth to be in charge. And we're called to be faithful and wise servants. Faithful and wise servants. Jesus has given us some important tasks. The most important, I read, is the Great Commission. He's given us a mission. He's given us a purpose on this earth. And it's a kingdom purpose. It's to continue the ministry of reconciliation which he started, which is only possible because of him and in him and through him. And so, will we be faithful and wise servants? When our master returns, will he find us servants about his business, on his mission? This is what Jesus is talking about here. As he's saying, be prepared, be ready, be faithful and wise. A faithful and wise servant is one who's doing God's business, sharing the gospel and making disciples. Let's continue, verse 48. But suppose that servant's wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And then he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. What the picture I get there is, suppose instead of doing kingdom stuff, he decides to go back and just live like the world. Eating and drinking with drunkards. Okay, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he's not aware of. Jesus is reiterating that fact. And then verse 51 says, he will cut him to pieces. This is Jesus speaking. He will cut him. Jesus. Anyway. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So you've all heard that. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the context of that statement. Where it happens, why it happens, how it all goes down. So we can live life faithful or we can choose wickedness. And these are the only two options that Jesus is giving us in this context right here. We can be found faithful or we can be found lacking. The faithful servant living for the Lord about God's business. The wicked one living selfishly. What's in it for me? My comfort, my happiness, my ease, my retirement, my selfish gain, my best life now. This is a tough message, man. This is Jesus. But he gives us this tough message because he loves us. Pastor Jose mentioned it earlier. Because he's our friend. He cares for us. He's calling you right now, whoever that is. He cares for you. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. I'm just going to end with this. I want to encourage us, and I believe this is what Jesus is encouraging us. Choose this day who you're going to serve. Amen. Who you're going to live for. Remind yourself who you are. what your life is really about. I think when you do that, most of you are going to realize once again that it's much bigger than what you're allowing it to be. It's much grander. It's eternal. It's kingdom. So what did Jesus teach us today about his return? I want to just go back to the title. Don't predict, instead prepare. Prepare. And notice, nowhere in here are we supposed to fear. So I just pray that you will not take this message from Jesus about being a lazy, wicked servant or a faithful servant, about his return and is he going to find you doing the right thing or not? And you get yourself all stressed out and you make this so complicated because then again, you're making it about you at that point. It's not about you. It's about him. Don't predict, instead prepare. I want to just maybe some things you can be thinking about today and this week. What has the Lord called you to do? And if you don't know, come to Find Your Fit next week. I'm not guaranteeing that you're going to find out exactly what the Lord's called you to do, but it could be a step forward in that. But seriously, what has the Lord called you to do? I imagine a lot of you in this room know. You know the gifts God's given you. He's given you some insight into how he wants you to use those gift possibilities, how he can use you for his glory. So what has God called you to do? I want to encourage you, do it now. Don't wait. Well, I don't know how. Well, talk to people. Wise counsel. Your brothers and sisters in Christ. Pastor Phil. See, you were the problem earlier. Now you're the answer. We're here for one another. We're not on this journey alone. Do it now. If you're a parent, do it now when your kids are around and watching and witnessing their mom and their dad, hearing from the Lord and obeying him and going for it. And do it now before you're too old and tired, too. I'm just going to throw that one out there, too. You don't have to wait until you're retired. And I see some gray hair in this room that's doing it now also. Let's stand and let's close.